Chapter 18, Why Do We Fight? This is one question that gets asked a lot, and it comes from so many sources that I thought it appropriate to use. If an American is asked this question, he or she will give a broad variety of answers, and surprisingly, a considerable number will mention the word oil in their response. But the top answer is actually freedom. The very worst thing that any individual can do is to kill another person, and the worst scenario of that would be to do it willfully, violently, and the victim young or a non-combatant, female or male. When asked the question, why do we fight, most of us automatically reference the combat role and not our usual battle with the spouse or that one rotten neighbor, but there are similarities, and historically the little skirmishes of any sort have sometimes led to the most enormous conflicts ever. If you think about it, no actual war would just start without the usual escalation from a simple word, battle, unless it was one of colonization, which is a fancy word for stealing on a global basis. Those that create the war do not usually fight it. This is the point that the moral issues become blurred, because the killing is done by the foot soldier or pilot of a warcraft, and done by them in the belief that they are either defending their values or defending their right to foist them on others. Who is really responsible? Is it the cruel minds that formulated the shock and awe, or built the A-bomb? Or is it the greedy taskmasters of colonization and mayhem that ordered the destruction of Baghdad or Hiroshima? Or is it the jet fighter pilot, or the pilot of the Enola Gay, who were largely lied to by their superiors but actually did the killing? This question has been wrestled with for centuries, and generally everyone is to blame. But it's the foot soldier or pilot that is really responsible, in my opinion. He is the only one or group that can actually prevent the killing from happening. So he must bear the responsibility. Thrill-seeking teens that signed up for Vietnam and joined the army to kill Nignog, Slant, Snippers, or Kong are so directly responsible for their actions that there is no real question at all. Those that created the opportunity for these deaths are also responsible, and in a moral sense even more so, because of the lies they perpetrated and the greed they represent. But it's the soldier that commits the horrible act. Now that our population has reached such proportions, when possible wars are discussed by the great powers or powerful individuals, there is an underlying willingness for the general public to accept the resulting deaths, because all or most of us realize that overpopulation is really cutting into everyone's personal share. This is a kind of mental climate that makes war more possible, and largely wars more likely. And in this age, the type of killing can take on some unusual dynamics. Ignoring the epidemics of AIDS in Africa and keeping any available drugs or care for victims is a modern act of war. Ignoring any conflict or genocide is another form of participation in war, as is a simple act of buying an SUV knowing that your pollution rate is poisoning others unnecessarily, and Boss Hog Bush is killing Muslims to get gas for you. Having more than two kids can also be considered an act of war, simply because you are adding to the climate mentioned, but that type of thing is getting a touch extreme, but you get the picture. The simplest responsibility that you can have is to be informed about the world that you live in and learn tolerance for all races and types of people. Do not believe the propaganda that your so-called leaders put over the bought and paid for media, and do not go to these wars and kill others as some form of patriot or gung-ho zealot. Peaceniks are the bane of the establishment war machine because they won't fight no matter how good the brand of bullshit is. Let the generals pick up the guns. Grow your hair long and don't even trim your beard or whiskers, and you will find a real connection with the wisdom and peace of the ages, because that very hair blends you with all and sensitizes you to the earth and all its people. Soldiers look the part, and they don't appear to be wizened sages, unless they are Sikhs, and those men are only soldiers for good. Sikhs and other bearded, long-haired men also make excellent policemen because they refuse corruption and are just in their actions. This thought leads to the silent forms of warfare that do evil deeds and yet seem quite innocuous. Women that work for Walmart are promised that if they fulfill their obligations for 2 or 3 years, they will become management associates. But this is just a systematic lie that is quite well known across North America. Walmart has no value for women, and as all associates are forced to work overtime without the benefit of commensurate wages, to the point that they cannot even afford health insurance. Walmart has been sued for these practices in almost all states, so I can say what I want about them without fear of incrimination. These systemic duties of misinforming the associates are really a form of warfare perpetrated by many businesses on their employees and customers, because they are tantamount to creating the urge to kill in the victims when the evil is discovered. A company that knowingly endangers the public with their inferior product or cheats them for profit is committing an unspeakable act. And if you, as their employee, are expected to recommend this dangerous or shoddy product, then you have just sold out and become part of the damned. Welcome to the club. How many of us can say that we don't really cheat, steal, and ultimately murder for the sake of making a living? Henry Ford probably didn't realize that his wonderful machine, when modernized by time to a sleek, fast sports car for the masses, and combined with another, even more popular product, whiskey, would be a very efficient and constant killer of children and adults. He didn't envision being responsible, along with others, in the automotive or beverage field for more deaths than most wars or any particular disease cause. Where's the moral responsibility with a conundrum like that? If Henry didn't make cars, someone else surely would. And how can he be held responsible for the combination of booze, bravado, superhighways, and speed? Even the rampant misuse of firearms in the U.S. and Canada can't keep up with the carnage on the highways, and 1 out of every 2 driving deaths has alcohol involved. Some of us have very subtle responsibilities to fulfill for the company we work for, like reporters in the countries mentioned, for example. They must constantly sidestep the obvious accusations that they are fully aware of and pretend in their output text that there is such a thing, that there is such a thing as a valued patriotism, and that officials are largely not corrupt. They must continually foster the idea that there is a war on drugs, battle against terrorism, work ethic, just war, and political ethics, when they know full well there is no such things that even exist today. This might seem quite minor until the administration you are supposedly served by announces that there will be a war on, say, for example, Iraq, and it's on account of, say, terrorism, and you are supposedly a news writer. Then you want to get your check, so you write around the truth, go home, puke, get drunk, and hate yourself. Namron Sore.